book of Acts, chapter number 2, the book of Acts in chapter number 2. Let us continue to pray, as I mentioned earlier, for our pastor and the family. Lord willing, he'll mount the pulpit on Sunday morning, and I know he'll have a fire in his heart and have a refreshing in his soul, and he'll be ready to preach, especially this coming Father's Day, and trusting that the Lord will continue to have his hand upon him, the church. Tonight, I want to change gears just a little bit of what we've been preaching the last three services, as we've tried to help to fill in during the pastor's absence. And I always want to be a help to the church. I want to be a help to my pastor. I love him dearly. I love this church dearly. And I'm very, very grateful and honored as I travel to be able to say that I am a member of Bible Baptist Church. And my pastor is Pastor Ricky Gravely. And I'm not ashamed of that at all. And we've mentioned it all over the United States and various countries wherein we've traveled. And I want to say this tonight. This church has an impeccable reputation among the brethren and churches out and about across this country. And your testimony is well known. And for the lively services, the Spirit of God, the preaching, the choir singing, and our missionaries love coming when they come into the Cleveland, Tennessee area or in the area. They're often making their way over and enjoying the services here. Thank you so much, church, for supporting not only Mrs. Ellis and I, but allowing many of our missionaries to represent you on the mission field. And I'm not sure how many missionaries out of the church are missionaries with Rock of Ages, but I know there's a great number, and we're grateful for every one of them, two of them here tonight, and I'm very, very thankful for the opportunity to be able to represent this church. Good to have Mrs. Ellis back with us tonight. I was sitting back there the other night, Brother Lance told me, he said, you don't look right sitting there by yourself. And I said, I don't feel right sitting here by myself either. And especially at the dinner table when it's barren. I don't cook. I can't sing and I can't cook. And I told them tonight to put the mic on me. They said, I'm going to be sure that it's on mute. I said, definitely be sure it's on mute, because you do not want to turn it on in the middle of the singing if I'm attempting to sing. I remember years ago, and I may have said this before, we're down in Parchman, Mississippi in a prison revival, and during the morning services, we would have revival service among the brethren and the church before we'd go into the prison mid-morning or so. And they had a quartet. One of the members was sick that particular morning, and one of them came up to me and said, Brother Ellis, said, we've heard you sing. He said, you're going to fill in for him. I said, brethren, I'm pretty sure you've got me mixed up with someone else that's in this meeting. You have not heard me sing, or you would not ask me to sing in this quartet. They said, oh, no, we've heard you sing. You're the man. You're going to fill in. I said, no, I'm not going to. They said, yeah, you're the man. I said, okay, you're going to regret it, but I will fill in. I promise God I'll help anywhere and everywhere I can. And if you really feel I need to help, I will fill in. And so we got up. The quartet started singing. And I think I'm on this end, and the three on the other side. And we got about halfway through the first verse. And the brother beside me got back and walked to the other side. Before we got done with that verse, the second one got up and went to the other side. And there was about three gap between me and them. And I said, I tried to tell you, and I went and sat down. I am not a singer. And I want to say this tonight. I love the choir singing and all the specials here at this church. I'm always encouraged and receive a blessing by being at our home church. And I always want to be a help and a blessing to our church and to our pastor and to those that are here. So if you have your Bible tonight, I want to shift gears and preach a little different type of message tonight. And hopefully it'll be of some help to you in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. And if you're able to stand, let's stand in reverence to the reading of the scriptures tonight. Notice the book of Acts, chapter number 2, and I'll begin reading down in verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. And sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat and with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. You may be seated. Tonight I want to speak for just a moment on the subject matter on how to pray for your church. How to pray for your church. It's a very simple message tonight. You'll not hear anything that's new or earth-shaking or anything that will wow you or awe you from the scriptures per se. But I want to remind us tonight of the importance of praying for our church and for our pastor and for those that God has placed in this church and in this ministry. So let's go to the Lord in prayer, then we'll bring what the Lord has given to us tonight. Our Father, as we bow before you tonight, we do love you and we thank you for the opportunity to be here at Bible Baptist Church. Lord, not only for the opportunity to be here, but for the opportunity and the great honor and privilege of calling this our home church. Lord, I've said often that leading us here and making the decision, Peggy and I, to join Bible Baptist Church is one of the greatest and most impacting decisions we've made in many, many years of our ministry. And Father, I thank you for our pastor. I pray your continued blessings upon Pastor Gravely, Miss Nolita and the family, and I'd ask, Lord, that you'll refresh them. God, I pray that you'll give them new fire and new vigor, give them rest and refreshing of his soul. And I pray that you'll give them safety as they travel back home. And then, Father, for those that sit under the sound of our voice tonight and others that are providentially hindered, I pray that, Lord, you'll be with them. May you supply every need. Help thy servant tonight to be of help to your people. Remind us of what we should pray for and, Lord, how we should pray concerning our church. For we'll thank you. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. I want to speak to you, as I said tonight, on the subject matter on how to pray for our church. I believe as we travel across the nation and we visit church to church and preach from pulpit to pulpit, not just in the prisons, but in our churches of our nation and others around the globe, there is something that I'm seeing rather frequently. In fact, I'm seeing it more often than not. And that is people, I'm not implying that I see it here, but I'm seeing it more and more, people that take for granted the church and the pastor that God's given to them. I would say to you tonight, do not assume, and I don't ask that you travel to find out, take my word for it, and the other missionaries and evangelists that work full-time out of our church, but take my word for it tonight that not every church across America is like it is here at Bible Baptist Church. Not every pastor that preaches and mounts the pulpit as the pastor of a church is like our pastor, Pastor Gravely. And so tonight we need to be very appreciative and not be complacent. And I'm not implying that we are, but I want to encourage us that we would not be complacent about the church that God's given to us. In fact, I started to preach the other night on the book of Revelation in chapter number 5, and the Lord just hasn't given me liberty yet to turn and preach from that text. But you'll find there are golden vials that are mentioned in that particular passage of Scripture. The Bible said that these golden vials have the prayers of the saints. And as they open those prayers and the incense goes up to God, there's two things prominently that follow the opening of those vials and the releasing of God's people's prayers that have been bottled up. And I know some would not take that literally. They would take it more figuratively concerning the prayers of the saints. But I believe that we must take the Bible literally unless the Bible gives other interpretations thereof in the text. And I believe that just as God has bottled that he keeps all of our tears that he'll pour out one day, I believe that God also has these vials that the 24 elders and the beast have that they'll open up. And when they open up the vials that have, the Bible says, the prayers of the saints, all of a sudden they break forth in singing. And then they break forth in shouting. And you'll find that it starts with the beast and the 24 elders and then the host of heaven and then all that's up on the earth and all that's under the earth. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that 10,000 times 10,000s and yea, thousands of thousands and 10,000 times 10,000s is over, and all the thousands that he speak of is referencing well over 100 million people and souls. And can you imagine 100 million and upwards at one time, in one season, in one instant, when they lift up their voice and they sing of the redemption of God and the prayers of God's people and the burdens that we've carried over the year are released into heaven itself. What a glorious jubilee that's going to be. Amen. But until that day, we must pray. Until that day, we must be faithful to pray and lift our needs before the Lord. May I just say to you tonight before I get into the specifics of what the Lord has laid on our heart for tonight, and that is that every Christian must pray. Prayer is not an option in the Bible. Prayer is not a multiple choice, an A, B, or C. You can pray a little, or you can pray not at all, or you can do what you want to do. Prayer is a command in the Bible. The Bible simply says, Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica, one of the shortest verses recorded in the scriptures is simply three words, pray without ceasing. And so it is a command. Every child of God must pray. We should pray. And if you're a born-again believer, you have a desire to pray and to talk with your Heavenly Father. And the prayer is hard work. A prayer, I remember the first week or so that I was saved and converted to Christ at the Dogwood Valley Baptist Church. One at that time was personal help to me. His name is Johnny McNeese, one of the McNeese sons, and from Clay McNeese and Miss Glenda McNeese. And I remember as Johnny lived just a couple of doors up, and he took me under his wing and tried to disciple me a little bit and teach me the Bible. And one day he gave me a book by D.L. Moody, and it was simply entitled How to Pray. And I read through that simple book on how to pray by D.L. Moody, and it got my prayer life started. It launched me toward being able to pray and learn how to pray. Sometimes we take doctrines of the Bible and commands of the Bible, and we make it far more than what God's trying to make out of it. And I believe that while we're trying to study the importance of prayer and the depth of prayer and why we should pray, the truth of the matter is we ought to just pray with a list or without a list. With a burden or without a burden. We are commanded to pray, and that without ceasing. I remember the first time that I'd heard about all-night prayer meetings. I remember going to Faith Baptist Camp when I was first saved about 46 years ago. And I remember going, and the great preachers of yesteryears, I was there, Dr. James Crumpton, Dr. Billy Canoy, Ed McAbee, Dr. Harold Seitler, Dr. Sammy Allen, and the list is endless of preachers that would come and preach. And I remember our church taking busloads down to Faith Baptist Camp, and they would be standing room only in that massive auditorium. And at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, they were still preaching and praying. And I remember going to all-night prayer meetings, and I remember my first attempt at an all-night prayer meeting. I sat aside and I said all day long, God, I prepped myself up for it. I mean, I got ready. I was going to stay up all night and pray. And I got in my bedroom, shut the door, got on my knees, opened my Bible, and I prayed for my family. I prayed for my mother and dad. I prayed for my brother and sister. I prayed for my aunts and uncles and relatives. I prayed that God would give me a godly wife one day. And I mean, I prayed for anything and everything that came across my heart and mind. And when I was done praying, I lifted up my eyes. And I thought, surely the sun is about to rise. And when I looked at my clock, I think I might have been praying 20 minutes at the most. And I thought, there ain't no way I'm going to make it through the night. I didn't pray for everything I know to pray for. And so it was, prayer is hard work, but we must pray. The Bible says in Acts 6 and verse number 4, but we would give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And may I say to you, my friend, that the precedence is given there. Charles Bridge said this. He said, prayer is only one half of our ministry, and it gives the other half all of its power and success. Prayer is not something, some extra that's added to our work and added to our Christianity. Prayer is our Christianity. Prayer is our work, and prayer is our command that we ought to pray without ceasing. Faithful Christian must give themselves to prayer continuously. I remember my first attempt to pray while I was driving down the road, and Peggy was with me. We hadn't been married too long, and I said, I'm going to pray for a little while. And I'm glad I said something, because I didn't know any different at the time. I just bowed my head and started praying, and I'm under the driver's wheel. She said, I don't think that's the way you're supposed to do it. And the truth of the matter is, we can pray. It's not so much the posture of prayer, it's the attitude of prayer. We must be willing to pray. We must come to the place that we understand the importance of prayer. In Psalm 5 and verse number 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord, and in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. And may I say to you, any time of the day, any hour of the night is a good time to pray. But I don't believe personally there's any better time to pray than in the morning. Start your day with prayer. I remember one of my preachers some years ago said we ought to start a NB. You know, there's the NB club, NBA and all this, and NFL and all that. He said we ought to start a NB club. And I said, what's that, preacher? He said, no Bible, no breakfast. A faithful Christian will give themselves to prayer. In Psalm 55 and 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and thou shalt hear my voice. Do you pray tonight? We know about prayer. We teach about prayer. We preach about prayer. You talk about prayer. We go to prayer meetings, but do we pray? In Philippians 1:4, always and ever prayer of mine for you all, making a request with joy. May I just say to you tonight that we need to pray. Let me give you some practical things tonight, if I could, that we need to pray for. How to pray for our church. First, if you would, tonight, I just want to mention to you that we ought to pray for our pastor. Pray for our pastor. I'm afraid in many churches across our nation, if a preacher only preached with the power of the prayer of God's people, he would be powerless when he mounted the pulpit. If it rested upon the prayers of some of the churches and across our nation. No wonder some of the churches are in a mess. I don't mean this wrong tonight, so please don't misunderstand me. But one of the things that is a nuisance to me is when I go to a church prayer meeting and they talk for 20, 30 minutes and pray for two. Now, don't be getting quiet on me tonight. And I'm not talking about prayer requests for 20 or 30 minutes. I'm talking about just fellowshipping. And I'm not against the fellowship. We had all-night prayer meetings with Rock of Ages. We have at our national conference prayer every night from 10 to 12 o'clock and encourage the missionaries and church to come together. And I'm telling you that God moves in. And when we don't pray, you can tell a difference. But God moves in and blesses because of the prayers of his people. And we gathered, I told our men that are leading the prayer requests, I said, I don't mind opening statements or what have you, and I don't mind the details of the prayer requests, but we're not here to give requests for all night. We're here to pray for the night. We're here to share our burdens and to cast them before the Lord, and so we should learn to pray. And Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 23, he said, brethren, pray for us. And the preacher needs a prayer. The pastor needs a prayer. What do we need to pray for? We need to pray for God's power to rest upon him. For God to use him when he mounts the pulpit. For the hand of God, the touch of God to be upon him. The Bible said of the disciples when they saw him, they perceived that they had been with Jesus. And we need our preacher when he stands with the great power that he stands to preach with. And it's obvious that our pastor is in the presence of God and in the prayer closet on a continual basis. But may I say to you tonight that we as a people still need to pray for our pastor. Pray for the power of God to rest upon him. Pray for God's provision to be upon him. He has needs just like we do. And I know our church takes good care of him. And I'm not trying to rebuke or say anything tonight. I'm just saying we ought to pray that God takes care of and meets his provisions. They have breakdowns, washers and dryers. Our dryer broke down the other day, a little clip that holds the door shut. And I'll tell you, if I'd have had the machinery, I could have fixed it for 50 cents. It didn't have more than probably a quarter's worth of metal in it. And I had to order one. The original part was $30-something dollars. I couldn't believe it. And I found one for $7-something and grabbed because I had to pay that much for it. And took me all of 10 seconds to fix it on my dryer. Just a little clip, snaps in. About an inch long, about a quarter inch wide. That's all it was. And they won $30-something dollars for it. That's the day we live in. But I'm just simply saying that they have stuff that breaks down as well. They have washers and dryers and vehicles and clothes wear out. And we need to pray that God provides the provisions. Our preacher travels and is in a lot of conferences and meetings and revivals and things of that nature and Bible conferences and so forth. And we need to pray for God's protection upon him as he travels. Over the years, Peggy and I have seen literally hundreds of wrecks. Wrecks where people have died. One of the most horrific wrecks we've ever seen in our life. A young 13-year-old man was driving because his mother, her boyfriend, was drunk and couldn't drive home. And they asked the boy, the 13-year-old boy, to drive home. And he was killed in the accident that night on a dark, windy mountain road traveling through switchbacks. And we watched our son stand And literally, he threw up and vomited all over the road, all over the side of the road and the car for 3 days. He couldn't keep anything down, couldn't drink anything, couldn't eat anything, all because of the impact it had upon his life. We've seen him lay by the late wayside on the road and breathe their last breath. We need to pray for God's protection upon them as they travel. We need to pray for God's wisdom upon him. I know our preacher has great wisdom. And Solomon had wisdom before the Lord gave him the wisdom that exposed the depth of his wisdom to all of Israel. If you read the scriptures, the Bible leads up and tells us a lot of the wisdom of Solomon. But about the two babies and the one mother who rolled over on her infant and suffocated and died and then stole the infant of the other, and Solomon, in his wisdom, perceived who the real mother was and asked for a sword to cut the child in half to divide it between the mother. He knew that the real mother would say, "Let him live, just give him to the other lady, that'll be fine." And Solomon's wisdom was exposed. But Solomon didn't just all of a sudden get wisdom right there on the spot. He had wisdom leading up, if you study the scriptures. God just exposed the depth of his wisdom. And our preacher has great wisdom. I've been in the ministry for 46 years. I've been in the Rock of Ages 39 years. I serve as the director of the Rock of Ages Ministries for the last 18 years. And I preach meetings continuously. And you know what? I call my preacher for counsel frequently. Why, preacher? Because he has wisdom. And I can give you many scriptures in the Bible where they went and sought the man of God for his wisdom and for his counsel. And so we need to pray for his leadership. Pray for his health. Pray that God would give him vitality. You know, preachers get sick like everybody else. Preachers die like everybody else. If I were to start tonight naming all the preachers that died during COVID, I'd be here for no telling how long. Some of the great preachers in the South went on to be the Lord during COVID. And right during that season, there were great men of God that he used. You know, God makes it rain on the just and the unjust. Our preacher and Mr. Alita, they get sick like everyone else, and they need our prayers for their health. They need a prayer for the leadership. You look around the church buildings and you see how he's led us to fix up the churches, our church building and facilities. It's absolutely beautiful. Drove in around the back of the church tonight, and Peggy said, "I love them trees back there along the fence." Amen. You ought to thank God for a pastor who leads us forward and leads us in spiritual matters and leads us in ways of the Lord. I thank God for a preacher who's not that's not ashamed and is willing to stand and preach the Bible in all of its truth and all of its power and let the chips fall where it may. From standards to separation to sound doctrine to holy living. We ought to thank God for our preacher. We ought to pray for him tonight. We ought to have a commitment tonight that when we leave this auditorium, we'll pray so much for our preacher when he stands in this pulpit. He'll have more power. He'll be more on fire for God than he's ever been in all of his life. Then secondly, we need to pray for our church. Pray for the growth of the church. The Bible said in Acts 2:47, the text we read, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Need to pray for the church. Pray for the membership of the church. I've still got one of the last directories, has the pictures of the church and so forth in it. And we pray. Go through the families that are in the church and pray. Amen. And lift the needs before the Lord. God knows what your needs are. I may not know all the needs, but God knows. And he hears and answers prayer. I'm glad tonight before services, Sister Terry came and said, "There's no real special prayer request tonight. God's pretty much answered the prayers, and people's on the mend now. Just continue to pray for the speedy and full recovery and healing." Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful that from Sunday and morning and Sunday night to Wednesday night, God's done heard and answered prayer? Isn't that the Lord? Well, I said I was going to be a little different tonight. Maybe not. We ought to pray. We ought to pray that God will hear and answer the prayer for the people of the church. Pray for souls to be saved. I don't want to over-sensationalize it, but the Holy Ghost of God was convicting Sunday morning. There was somebody needed to be saved. I would need to pray that when people come like that, I'm not implying the church didn't pray, and that's why they didn't come. But we need to pray the power and the conviction and the presence of the Holy Ghost of God is so real and so thick that when our pastor stands to preach, or a guest preacher, or in a revival, or a missions conference, or an evangelist, or a pastor, whatever be the case, that not one sinner could set under the sound of the gospel and leave without being converted to Christ. Now, we know it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know it's God's will for him to come, but if we'll pray for such convicting power, then we need to pray for the finances of the church. Boy, it takes a lot of money to keep a church going, doesn't it? And the financial responsibilities, and this church, I've seen the financial reports, and preachers always bragging about Bible Baptist Church and the giving. That's a blessing. But pray for the finances. Church wanted to build a new building. Pastor's got a vision. There's a sketch of the building layout. I've seen it. And we all seen it. You say, what are we waiting on? Money. Money. But you know, God's not broke. He's not busted. And he's not disgusted. He owns a cattle of 1,000 hills and all that is in the hills, and surely he can sacrifice one or two or three or four or five or a dozen or however many cattle it is to build the building. He's God. He's able. There may be somebody here tonight could write the check and not even blink an eye. There may be someone here tonight that the Holy Ghost of God could use to meet the need. To build the building. The spiritual fervency of this church. And I want to say just a couple things here tonight. And that is that I've been church after church. And I want to say this tonight. And I hate saying it, but it's the truth. I've preached in a lot of churches that 4 years ago had a lot of spiritual fire. They were alive unto the Lord. Some of them I preached in over the last few months. The doctrine's right. The music's right. The standard's right. The separation's right. But spiritually, there's no life. Dead. You might as well ride a kabod over the roof or the ceiling, meaning the glory of God's departed. We need to pray for the spiritual fervency. Never take for granted the worship services we have here at Bible Baptist Church. It's been some years ago, I was preaching a missions conference, actually is in the state of Wyoming. I'll not give the city, but was in a particular church. And Peggy and the kids, they were still at home at the time, were at the piano practicing and singing, and we're very, very conservative in our music. And the preacher didn't like it. I preached one night at and I mentioned this during one of the Jubilee meetings, at a youth meeting, and God moved in, and people, young people got saved. A young pastor's daughter got saved out of Satanism and so forth, and I was rebuked for my preaching. I raised my hand in a service some time ago, and the preacher pulled me aside and said, "Now, Brother Ellis, we just don't do that around here." Well, I'm glad you can do it at Bible Baptist Church. You can raise both hands if you want to. You can stand up and run the aisle and you can worship God. You ought to pray for the spiritual fervency of our church, that we never lose it. We ought to pray for the doctrinal purity. And I know we have a pastor that stands pure on doctrine, our deacons, our church. I believe everybody that said under the sound of my voice tonight were doctrinally pure. But I want to say to you, brethren, there are those that creep in unaware. Don't take for granted you're in a good, doctrinally sound church. I was preaching a meeting three years ago, I believe it was now, in the state of Iowa. And on one particular Sunday night, a man came forward and made a profession of faith, but something was different about him. Something was off. I don't mean mentally off, just something was off about him. There was a different air about him. And so he came every night, and he had hair down below his shoulders. He went to the preacher and talked, got his hair cut short. I mean, he went through all the right motions. And I called the preacher back a month later. I said, "Preacher, how's that man that made a profession of faith doing?" He said, "Oh, brother, let me tell you about him. He came from a group that taught them how to infiltrate churches and split the churches. And he was faking. I knew exactly what to do in order to impress the pastor and try to impress the people to gain favor so he could split the church." We better pray for the doctrinal purity of our church. There are those that will creep in from the set on fire of hell in their heart, and they do everything they can to stand against the preacher, to stand against the church, to stand against the deacons. Yes, sir. We ought to pray for the spiritual fervency of our church and its doctrinal purity. I could keep here for a long time on that subject matter. The Bible gives us a warning in Jude and tells us, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should, watch this, earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Pray for our church. Then, if I could say this fourthly tonight and briefly, we ought to continue to pray for the music program of our church. I thank God for a pastor who has high standards in his music. I thank God for a pastor in a church that has good old-fashioned hymns. Good old-fashioned choir music like we heard tonight. So I asked him to sing that song twice about the blood. I like singing about the blood. I like singing the old times songs and hymns and songs, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord, to sing unto the Lord a new song and to lift up his praise and to glorify him. I like the specials we have around here, don't you? Accompanied by the Holy Ghost, the musicians. I hadn't heard one honky-tonk song since I've been a member of Bible Baptist Church. And I just got a suspicion I won't hear one when I die, until the day I die and thereafter. In fact, I dare say this, it wouldn't happen but once. You say, "Why have we got a godly pastor?" Thank God for the music. Thank God that it's conservative. You know, some churches today are going to traditional services first in the morning at 9 to 10, and then contemporary services from 10 to 11. I'm glad we have a conservative Sunday school hour from 10 to 11, and we have a conservative worship service from 11 to whenever the preacher gets done. Thank God there's nothing contemporary about it. It's old-fashioned. Raise your hand, shout and run the aisle. Rear back and preach and sing and lift the roof. Amen. Then just one more thing, and I'll close tonight. We ought to pray for our Sunday school classes. You know, Sunday school is the bedrock, or it's the backbone of a growing church. It really is. Back in yesteryears, the big press was to build a Sunday school class, and Sunday school, because if you build a Sunday school, you build a church. We ought to pray for our Sunday school teachers. Always enjoy when we get to come here and Brother Allen. I'm old enough now, the younger folk don't ask me to come to their rooms. They just leave us in the old folks' class. I'm sorry, Brother Allen, that's just what I call it. I don't know how in the world you can have a young man teaching an old folks' class. Did I get out of it, brother? But we ought to pray for our Sunday school teachers. Pray as they study. Pray as they learn the Bible. Pray as they impart the truth and the knowledge and the wisdom of God's divine book every Sunday morning. You ought to pray for the attendance. If the devil's going to fight anything, he'll fight Sunday school. And we ought to pray for the growth. Pray that God will bring new people in to learn the Bible and the Scriptures. Now, here's what I'd like to do tonight. I just want to challenge you to pray. Let's pray for our pastor. Let's pray for our church. Let's pray for our Sunday school teachers, for our music, for the school, college, right down the line, everything. We ought to pray for our deacons. And there's so much we ought to pray for. I can't hit it all tonight. But pray by name. Pray specifics. And here's what I want to do tonight. I'm going to ask you to join me in the altar so we can close in prayer tonight. And I want us to pray for our pastor. And I want us to pray for our church and for our Sunday school teachers, for our deacons, for our church and our people, and for the music program, for every aspect, for our youth. I go into churches where there's no youth. We visited a church the other day it's been about 8 months ago, 4 years ago, the church had about 60 or 80 people in it. Here recently, the same church in Sunday school had the pastor, his wife, and two people. And three more joined for the worship service, and that was it. Let us come to the altar and pray for Bible Baptist Church, for Pastor Gravely, and for our church tonight. If you'd come, join me.